touch.
Touch.
Arta.
Arta.
Object of perception.
Object of perception.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Whose?
Whose?
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Sparashalam.
Sparashalam.
The tactile sense.
Tactile sense.
Vidhu.
Vidhu.
Naino.
Naino.
The sense whose object of perception is sound is called the auditory sense. What's another word for the auditory sense?
Hearing.
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 Hearing. And that whose object of perception is touch is called the tactile sense. Hearing and touching. Purport. Sound is one of the qualifications of the sky. And is the subject matter for hearing. Similarly, touch is the qualification of the air. And is the subject of the touch sensation. The sense whose object of perception is form, the distinctive characteristic of fire, is the sense of sight. The sense whose object of perception is taste, the distinctive characteristic of water, is known as the sense of taste. Finally, the sense whose object of perception is odour, the distinctive characteristic of earth, is called the sense of smell. Parasya drishyate dharma. Hi uparasmin samanvayat ato visesha bhavana bhumav evo padakshyate. Since the cause exists in its effect as well, the characteristics of the former are observed in the latter. That is why the peculiarities of all of the elements exist in the earth alone. Purport. Sound is the cause of the sky. Sky is the cause of the air. Air is the cause of fire. Fire is the cause of water. And water is the cause of earth. In the sky there is only sound. Right? Ether. There is only sound. In the air there are sound and touch. In the fire, there are sound, touch, and form. In water, there are sound, touch, form, and taste. And in the earth, There are sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. Therefore, earth is a reservoir of all the qualities of the other elements. Earth is the sum total of all the other elements. The earth has all five qualities of the elements. Water has four qualities, fire has three, air has two, and the sky has only one quality, sound. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with who? Sense? No? Pretty straightforward. The construction of the material creation comes from spirit. Then comes the subtle elements of the material energy. Then from the subtle comes the gross. So, in the beginning, we hear the sound, which is core, the cause, if you like, of the space. But within
perceived by the other senses, but also by the tongue.
And then when we get the gross, you know, the earth or solids, what we call solids, then that's perceivable by all of the senses, including the nose. Odor or fragrance comes from the earth. So there's a connection between the senses and the manifestation of all of these elements going from subtle to gross. And really that's the purport here. When all of these, so we'll keep going, text 50, etanya samhatya yada, mahat agani saptavai, kala karma guna upeto, jagat adir upamishat. When all these elements were unmixed, the Supreme Personality and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of creation, along with time, work, and the qualities of the modes of material nature, entered into the universe with the total material energy in 7 divisions.
Gautama Sarva Vishnu expands into
Who?
Spirit of
salvation.
And what does he do?
He enters into the heart of the heart.
The heart, but he can be the atoms. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Anantarasta paramanu jayantarastam. He is not only within the universe, but within the atoms also. Paramanu means the supremely small. Right? The supremely small. He's the supremely big, but he's also the supremely small at the same time. He is not only within the universe, but within the atoms also. He is within the heart of every living entity. Huh? Ishvaraha Sarvabhutana Ridvesharjuna Tishtiti. Gautama Sri Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered into everything. Situated in Swetati, but at the same time also within everything in his expansion as Chirudaka Sai Vishnu. That's quite astonishing. He can be in one place, but everywhere at the same time. In his Upanishad, it mentions how his hands, his arms, his legs, his eyes are situated everywhere. That's because these hands, these eyes, these feet, legs, they all belong to him actually. We think they're ours. And in one sense they are. Achityabheda abheda tattva means it belongs to God, but it also belongs to us. All of these. And Prabhupada said in the lectures to the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the aim of life. What do you think is the aim of life? One of the aims of life, because there's more than one. The aim of life is to understand and recognize that everything belongs to God. Whereas we tend to think, ahankara vimudhatma kartamam iti manyate. We think thus, that I am the doer, and it belongs to me. Ahamameti, it's I am mine. And this is the song that's being sung by everybody all over the creation. You know what that song is? I be mine, I be mine, I be mine. I be mine. It was on Let It Be, I think. It was a song by the Beatles. Because they were influenced by Prabhupada at that time. I be mine, I be mine, I be mine. All over the world. I be mine, I be mine, I be mine. This is the ahankara. I'm the doer. And it belongs to me. The Prabhupada says the aim of life is to understand not that things belong to you. There's a dual ownership. And the devotee recognizes ultimately aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samvitaha. I am the source of everything, Krishna says. I'm the source of everything. And the wise understand that and so worship him. They worship God. Recognizing that all of the facilities have been given to us by the Lord. And Prabhupada gives the example, He gives you the facility of your hand. And you can do so many things with it, but when he takes it away, it's just paralyzed. You can't do anything with it. God allows us, Krishna allows us to utilize these facilities, but he can take it away so easily. You know, you read these stories. Oh, I was swimming, I caught a wave, then bang, I was dumped into the sand. And maybe we're quadriplegic. Now I can't even tie up my boot laces. I can't even feed myself. Huh? So we are given that facility by the sanction of the Lord. It's not actually ours. There's an illusion of us being the possessors of the body, possessors of so many potencies. Right? Just as God has potencies, we have potencies. Right? Some of us can dance. Right? Except if we're getting old. You know, Jagannath Das Babaji, he was carried around in a basket. But then when they found Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, and he got up and danced, at 123 years old or something. So, you know, ordinarily carried around in a basket, but inspired by Krishna, you can do all sorts of wonderful things. But he can take it away. He gives it, but very easily, take it away. So, the aim of life is to understand who all of these... Okay, understand how the workings of all of the elements, how it all fits together. But ultimately, understand that it is meant for a purpose. It has a purpose. Just as we have a purpose, God also has a purpose. Krishna has a purpose. And the purpose, the aim of life, is to understand what... that everything belongs to God. And then it has a purpose. It is meant for self-realization. This existence is meant actually to get out of. To understand what it is and then ultimately get out. Because, and this is the nature of Maya, that which is not. Maya tricks us into thinking that this body is permanent. That the material world is permanent and that I can enjoy it. We're pleasure seekers by nature. I'm under Maya Vyasa. Often quotes this aphorism, Vedic aphorism. God is a pleasure seeker because we're part and parcel of God. We're also pleasure seekers. But we're looking for it in the wrong place. There is nothing permanent in the material creation. In fact, that's it. Its impermanence is its feature. So it's always in a state of flux, flow, change. And our purpose is to, if we want to enjoy, then we really have to look for that which will provide us permanent happiness, permanent pleasure. And it can't be found in the material world. Ultimately, it can't be. Or, what we're looking for is not of the material world. What we're looking for, bhakti, ultimately, which is real pleasure, is that characteristic or that feature that is permanent, which is actually found in the spiritual realm. That's Satchit Ananda. But we can be engaged in those activities using all of these facilities rather than looking for happiness in the temporary world. We need to look for happiness in the spiritual realm. And it's found in the material world in the association of the devotees. This, you know, this understanding, this proper understanding of how everything belongs to God and should be used in His service is really only understood when we come into the association of the devotees. Otherwise, you know, we think it's an illusion. We think it's a nice idea, but how you do it So we need to understand how all of these things work, how they're all combined together. But we also need to understand who's the owner and what his purpose is. And we find out what God's purpose is by hearing from the devotees. It's only the devotees who understand what God's purpose is. And, of course, they repeat the same message that is given by God. Krishna. That's how we tell a devotee. A devotee is a person who repeats the same message as God. He's God's representative. And that's how we learn what Krishna wants and what the purpose. All of these elements are meant to be used for the service of God. This is bhakti. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevana, Bhaktir, Chutjate. We use the senses in the service of the master of the senses. He's the creator of everything, he's the maintainer of everything, ultimately the destroyer of everything within the material creation. He's the provider. And so, these are his hands. His hands, his legs, his feet, his eyes, all of these, they're everywhere. And he's given them to us. And we're supposed to use them. Otherwise, if we're not using them for the purpose of the proprietor, the owner of those facilities, then we're basically thieves. And according to the laws of nature, we will be punished. Right? If you're a thief, you'll be punished. About what you said, what's an example of the? I put a few. There's a person who sees some money lying on in the street, right? And he sees the money. He goes, "Oh, good," keep it himself. That's considered to be, if you find money on the street and you keep it to yourself, that's considered to be stealing. What was the Vedic Prabhupada says, what is it? Lustrava. What's the Vedic? See, others' possessions, this is knowledge, definition of knowledge. What are they doing up there? What's the first one is Matrivat Savagalareshu. One should see all women as mothers. Atmavat Savamuteshu. They say the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? Atmavat. As you will do to yourself, sadhu-bhute-shu, do to others. No? And I can't remember the last, but see the possessions of others as garbage in the street. Right? Can you imagine that? You walk down the street, you see $1,000 lying on the street, you want to imagine it's garbage. And ignore it. There are some cultures in the world today where that's Japan. You know, people take this property even if they left it behind. They'll turn it in. But when it comes to money, we know who's the possessor of money. Ultimately, it all belongs to Krishna. So if we see some money lying on the street, We don't think, oh, I should return it to the owner. We think that belongs to Krishna. That's quite, you know, that's quite elevated. Elevated understanding. Generally, if we see money lying on the street, what do we think? Oh, beauty. I'll take that. For ourselves. Sex gratification. We're highly unlikely to think, oh, look, this is money, I wonder who that belongs to, I should return it to them. The more elevated is to understand that money,
that
all facilities belong. This was the Korma mentions in his book. This was the philosophy of the devotees in the 70s. If it isn't nailed down, then it belongs to Krishna. Unfortunately, our neighbours weren't so they came to steer the flowers for us. The neighbours weren't so impressed that it belonged to Krishna. They preferred to emphasise that Krishna had given it to them. And so that's why we need to respect that, actually. Proprietorship, we respect it. Huh? It's not that it belongs to Krishna here. I'll take it from you. Because the proprietorship is also given to us. Prabhupada makes that point. This is my watch. If you want to take it from me, I'll fight it for it. So there is this dual concept of ownership. We're given an allotment, a quota. And we're allowed to use that. And there are guidelines for using it. Right? So that dual ownership, yes, it belongs to God, but I've been given this facility. I utilize that facility for God's service. That's the appropriate understanding of this dual, or the proper understanding of proprietorship. In one sense, the battle of Kurukshetra was fought over this principle. Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana were demons, basically. And they were intent on enjoying the kingdom for themselves. Why Krishna wanted Yudhishthira to be the king was because he was a devotee. And he knew how to utilize the facilities properly for the benefit of the citizens. Right? This is also one of God's plans, is that a material facility is actually meant for the benefit of everybody. That's why the Kshatriyas would tax the Vaishyas and then, under the guidance of the Brahmanas, utilize those facilities, redistribute those facilities so that everybody would prosper from a spiritual point of view and from a material point of view. They go together. And because of that conflict between the two, the two parties, it was Krishna's desire that the devotees be the rulers, and that Dhritarashtra, or certainly Duryodhana and his brothers, and their followers would have been relieved of their positions. But they weren't devotees. And that's that vision, even though the devotees appear to be doing the same things. They're the kings, they're ruling, they're punishing, they're rewarding, they're engaging people in different ways. Ultimately, the purpose is for the pleasure of Rishikesh, Rishikena, Sevena Bhakti Uchate. The senses are used in the service of the master of the senses. So these facilities are meant for the service of the Lord. That ultimately benefits everybody. There's material provision, but there's spiritual advancement. There's not out material sense gratification, there's sense control. That's encouraged. That sense control is manifest in the characteristic or the character of the Brahmanas. Samo, Tamas, Tapa, Sol, Cham. Austerity, sense control, equanimity, cleanliness. These are characteristics of the Brahmanas. The senses are meant to be controlled, and the austerity is to do things in the service of the Lord. That ultimately is beneficial for everybody. It's purifying. It's called jagya. Jagya. The Brahmanas, of course, the Brahmanas' duties. Yajan, yajan, patan, patan. Dadati pratigraha. Giving in charity, receiving in charity. Studying the Shastra, teaching the Shastra, and performing sacrifice. That's our duty, is to perform sacrifices. Because our culture is basically the Buddhist culture. And our sacrifice is take these facilities, use them for spiritual practice, for spiritual purposes. Not for sense gratification. Sense gratification automatically comes. But the Brahmanas or the devotees, because the devotees automatically have political qualities, are satisfied by simple things. Not taking more than is required. If we take more than is required, then we'll be punished for being a thief. If you eat too much, what happens? Yeah, get fat, or get a stomach ache, get sick. No harm in being a little fatty. And in my case, it's a little. Yes. My weight went to 69 this morning, and I noticed 69.2. Pretty far out. Putting on the kilos, but hopefully it stops. I'm like, oh, we'll probably have to do. So it keeps going. Then you think, I've got to stop. No harm in being healthy. A devotee doesn't have to be emaciated. Sudama was, the epitome of renunciation. But that's not necessarily the goal of devotion, to be renounced, to be totally renounced. Siddhartha Pipra had his wife was reminding him all the time, telling him all the time, why don't you do something? Why don't you get your act together? He wanted to, he was renounced. So then when he gave Krishna the chip prize, then Krishna rewarded him, and what did he reward him with? Palace, gold, servants. Because just living in a renounced is not necessarily a sign of devotion. Because Prabhupada mentions it, so now it's a little tough job, being so renounced. Whereas devotee's not, he'll use everything for Krishna. Takes as much as he needs, a little bit, then uses everything for Krishna. Why? Because aham sarvasya bhavato yathasa bhavatate. It all comes from me, Krishna says. So we should always use it for Krishna's purposes. As the aim of life is to see Krishna as the proprietor. Bhakti param jagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram Suryam Sarvabhutanam Gattamam Shanti Ritchati. So if you want to be peaceful and happy, this is the peace formula, Prabhupada says. Krishna says this is the peace formula. Recognize that Krishna is the proprietor. And that's the art of devotion, in one sense. And the benefit of associating with the place, we'll remember. Idam Krishnaya Idam Namama. This belongs to Krishna. This is done for Krishna, not for me. Okay, any comments or questions? We got up to verse 50. Number 50. Sure, so 51 is the next verse. Okay? One verse, number 50.